Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so excited that you have joined us again today with another exciting episode of the podcast. I am back with Abby and we have a fantastic guest on today. Her name is Zan Tyler. I know that many of you have heard of her. You've maybe heard her speak at a convention that you've been at. Maybe you have picked up one of her books. Zan, you've been around the block a couple of times when it comes to homeschooling, and so you're kind of a homeschool celebrity. Just a few times. You don't look like you have.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, God has done amazing things to you. So we are so thrilled to have you on with us today. And today we are going to talk about trust. I was talking to a mom a couple weeks ago. We had dinner with a couple, and she just looked at me in the eyes. She said, "How are you handling everything that's going on right now?" She said, "I'm freaking out." She said, "I'm just so overwhelmed. Everything that's happening, I'm worried for my kids. I'm worried for my family." And she's like, "I just feel like I can't let down." And she's just constantly kind of in a state of fear. And I said, I get it. The last year has been beyond overwhelming in a million different ways. And at the same time, we've been able to see the hand of God move in ways that we would maybe not have seen him move. And then there are also areas that I know that many of us are like, "Oh, okay, God, where are you? Hello, hello, hello." And we just recently, we did another episode with Rachel Carmen where we talked about rest for the weary mom. And so this is kind of a follow-up almost to that where we're going to talk about trust. And Zan, you have a pretty incredible testimony and you've been on the podcast before.
That's right.
But we're going to kind of go back again because we have so many new listeners who really need to hear your story. And with COVID that has kind of jumped into the middle of our life since you've been on the podcast, mm-hmm. I want you to talk about your journey, what the Lord has done through you and in you, and just bring some hope to us mamas and just show us where we can go in scripture to find the hope that only comes from Christ. But first, I would love it if you would introduce us to yourself and to your family.
Okay. Well, as you said, my name is Zan Tyler. We homeschooled for 21 years and started in 1984. So when we began homeschooling, we didn't know a person in the world who was homeschooling. So there were no support groups, no state organizations. HSLDA, I think, had started on the West Coast, but it wasn't national in scope. So we were pretty alone. Just in terms of talking about COVID a little bit, you know, sometimes we feel like we're in exile in the COVID world. That's how I felt when we first started homeschooling, because we had no friends, no support group. And not only that, but people at church would not speak to us. People in our neighborhood would keep their kids from playing with us, our kids. And so it was really a little bit like being in exile. And I'll tell you, unless we learn how to shelter in place in Jesus, we lose our power strength really quickly. Mm-hmm. So now my kids are grown. They have children of their own. They're homeschooling, the ones that are school age. So it's been quite the journey. The thing I didn't say is we were threatened with jail when I began homeschooling. So the first 8 years we homeschooled, we were either in the legislature or in court, you know, fighting hard for homeschool freedom. So it's been my life journey. I feel like the Lord has called us to homeschool and continues to call me to be involved with homeschooling moms and families, because I believe this is kingdom work. Mm-hmm. I believe that what we're doing, I mean, teaching spelling and math and STEM courses, all of that is important, But the eternal work we're doing is building the kingdom of God and a love for the kingdom of God in each of our kids.
Amen. So you talked about having been threatened with jail time. Take us back a little bit to that journey that you were on and unpack that for us, because that's a pretty crazy story.
Okay. It is a crazy story. So we had our six-year-old who was bright and gregarious and a boy, and he was the only kid in his kindergarten class not reading. Well, I didn't know then that was normal. I mean, there's two things I said I would never do in life when I was in college. One was teach and the other was have kids. And so I feel like lesson number one for me maybe is never tell God what you're not going to do. Right. And then we can be surprised when he calls you to do that. And it's the greatest thing in your life. So back to that early time of homeschooling, a friend of mine said, Zan, you need to homeschool Ty. That's the answer to your problem. She was 10 years older than me. I'd had Ty right after graduating from college. So when he was six, I was 28. So I was a relatively young mom. You know, all my friends with kids that age were in their 30s. And she said, she gave me this book, Homegrown Kids by Dr. Moore. And I thought, I am not reading this book. When she said the word homeschool, I felt like I was in the Star Wars movie, the trash compactor, you know, and I fell like the walls of her house. I just couldn't get out of there quick enough. Mm. But I started reading this book, and it was just like the Holy Spirit was just wooing my heart toward the idea of homeschooling. And so we originally were just going to hold Ty back a year. And at the last minute possible, the school district reneged on their offer to hold Ty back. That meant all of a sudden private schools are filled because it's early summer. We can't put Ty in kindergarten. I'm not going to put him in first grade. And I'd been wrestling with this idea, you know, with Ward over homeschooling in 1984. Mm-hmm. Normal people didn't do it. People who lived in the backwoods in Mississippi that didn't use money and were bartering. That was the only story I had ever heard of homeschooling. So I was kind of running away from that as fast as I could. And so we had to hire an attorney just to find out what the law was, because nobody at our local school board or our state department of education would tell us what the law was. Mm. So we hired an attorney, found out the law, turned in an application. I mean, I felt like I had written a doctoral dissertation. Wow. It was so long. I complied with every jot and tittle of the law, and they turned me down. And so in that process, I had called our attorney back. What do we do now? He said, you have to appeal to the State Board of Education, but they're just going to rubber stamp and the local school board. Well, then what do I do? And he said, well, you're going to end up in family court. And I'm telling the Lord, I told you this was not a good idea to begin with. So I had this brainstorm in the middle of all this and a realization that our state superintendent of education, Charlie Williams, had been a friend of my mother's. And actually, she was a fabulous public school teacher. And when she was teaching and he was getting his PhD, he observed her schoolroom for 3 to 6 months. And it was right across from my schoolroom. I saw him every day after school during that time period. So I knew him well. And I thought, I'm just going to call him. So I called Dr. Williams. I said, Dr. Williams, this is Sybil Peters' daughter. I've got a real problem. Can I come see you? He said, honey, I will clear my calendar. Come on up. So, you know, I get up there and I tell him my story about how all I wanted to do was hold Ty back. The public school reneged, private schools were filled. And I really thought he was going to say to me, Zan, I know your family. I know you. I know you love your child. So let's see how we can solve this problem. Instead, he says, if you continue down this path, I can have you put in jail for truancy.
Wow.
And, you know, I can close my eyes. That was 1984, so it was a while ago. Mm-hmm. I can close my eyes and still see where I was sitting, where he was sitting, how I felt, the total fear for just a second that just gripped me. Mm-hmm. And then I heard this person say, well, Dr. Williams, you'll just have to put me in jail. Wow. And I realized it was myself. And but I really felt like that was my Not to sound melodramatic, but my Patrick Henry moment where I realized, I know not course what others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I knew that was my moment.
Yeah.
So where I had to decide, I mean, God brought that decision to me. I didn't go out seeking that by any means. And I was shocked. But then I felt like the Spirit was there with me. You know, he says, don't worry about what you're going to say when you're confronted with leaders persecuting you or prosecuting you. So I left, I stopped by my parents' house. My parents were very involved in the Columbia, the South Carolina community. Daddy was on several boards. And I thought, when I go to jail next week, it's not going to say, peon homeschool mom, Zan Tyler goes to jail. It's going to say, John Peter's daughter goes to jail.
Yeah.
So I went by and told my parents. I just have always wondered I knew nothing about homeschooling, and I'm telling them I'm going to homeschool. And at this point I'm hysterical. Mom and dad, I'm homeschooling. Ty, dad's a lawyer. Dad, here are all my legal briefs. Mom, here's my research, which was a little pamphlet, you know, about 3 pages thick on homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And then I left. And so
what was their response to you when you said that to them?
Well, they're trying to assimilate. You know, I had always been a little bit of a maverick in terms of the decisions I had made in life, you know. And but they trusted me. They knew how much I loved my kids. Mom thought, well, if I just had 2 or 3 kids to teach, what a great teacher I would be, and how much would my kids learn? My father was just furious I had been treated that way by people he knew.
Sure.
So he didn't care anything about homeschooling, but he wasn't going to stand by and watch me treated that way.
Wow.
And so really, in a world gone crazy where only my husband supported me, my mom and my dad really walked that path with me.
Wow.
And, you know, I learned such a lesson about taking your adult kids where they are and supporting them in their callings, no matter how outrageous, ridiculous it seems at the time, you know, and because it was really at times the only thing that saw me through. I mean, besides God's grace, I don't mean that, but you know, my dad, I need to write a book about dad and all the political favors he called in and things he did. It was pretty amazing.
Wow. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back and continue with this story.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
We are back with Zan, and you were telling us about you had gone to your parents' house and told them of all the things, basically, I'm going to go to jail. So from there, what happened?
Well, my dad was speaking 2 nights later at a Baptist hospital function, and a U.S. senator's wife happened to be there that I had worked for in high school. And he said, you know, Nancy, Zanis called the senator's office, no result, and I need to know what he's going to do for her now. So she called the senator's office. He actually flew down from Washington 2 days later and met with the state superintendent on my behalf and said, basically, my staff has done the research. What she's doing is legal. I recommend that you approve her program. Mm. And so it was really, I just never saw that coming.
Wow.
From the time I was threatened with jail, it was a very real threat. It wasn't just one of these cavalier, you know, statements. And so I couldn't believe it. So I began getting calls from people at the State Department. Mrs. Tyler, how are you today? Come on down here. We're going to help you fill out your application where there are holes. And we want you to come to the meeting on Tuesday. Everything's going to be fine. We just want to meet you and your husband. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's part of you that just wants to go. Yeah. But then, you know, but I was just so grateful. I mean, that we didn't have to go through that. I was right. just so grateful that my kids weren't going to be removed from my home or,
right.
you know, so it was really God's grace.
At that time, because I mean, you still had quite a journey ahead of you of yes. fighting for freedom, which we're going to talk about. But at that time, did you just think, okay, done, over with, I'm free, I can homeschool now? Or did you have any idea that you would be facing the road that you were about to jump on?
Zero idea. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that he did not let me see that.
Yeah.
I mean, we had crazy things happen that year. I mean, nobody was happy with us for homeschooling, but it beat going to jail. I sure. mean, all the right. things we were facing from neighbors and everybody else.
Right.
I just kept saying, you know, this beats jail.
Yes.
And, but we had crazy things. Like I would get calls, just random calls from people soliciting information over the phone. And I told Joe, I said, these are lawyers and school district people mm-hmm. trying to get me. And he said, oh, Zan, you're so paranoid. But we got this thing from Bell South. It was, you know, before cell phones, all of that, it was mm-hmm. this call tracing service that was an exorbitant amount of money. Let me just do it for a month. And sure enough, I started calling back people who were calling me. And I said, I think you just called me. Oh, no, no, we didn't call you. And I wow. said, yeah, you did. I've got it right here on, you know. And so, you know, policemen, we lived on a quiet little cul-de-sac. We'd see a policeman ride up and down our road several times a week. I knew they were just checking to make sure we were home and in school. So there was that type of thing, mm-hmm. but nothing that would give me any indication that worse was coming. As a matter of fact, we were just homeschooling that first year to get Ty ready for homeschool. Mm-hmm. You know, when I hear veteran homeschool moms talk about the new mothers coming into the movement now and how they just don't have a vision for homeschooling.
Yeah.
I want to say, that's me. You know, I had zero vision for homeschooling except for helping my child get ready for school.
Yeah.
And so I think we just have to be patient with people. I mean, the Lord gives vision. His
yeah.
word gives vision. Mm. We walk alongside people and hold them and hug them and bless them. And hopefully from our lives, they gain vision. But I think sometimes we expect too much.
So when you jumped in, when you sat before the superintendent and you said, then you're going to just have to put me in jail. That was not you have this vision to homeschool your kids through 12th grade. That was this year. Like we're just going to get through this year.
Yes. Yes. And wow. I really, you know, I just knew that God was calling me to do this. Oh my goodness. If you had told me that people homeschooled in high school, I remember the first time I went to a national homeschool leadership conference. Uh-huh. I can't remember exactly how old my kids were. They were probably second, third grade. And I met these high school kids. I mean, they were great. They were everything you would want your kids to be. Mm-hmm. And I just know I'm looking at my future. And I'm saying, Lord Jesus, please tell me people don't do this in high school. Please. Release me from this thought, you know, because that scared me to death.
Yeah,
you know, you just take step by step and as you and you know, I just want to add this one little caveat, because we think sometimes we have to give lectures, which I do around the country, but have to give people a full-blown view of what God's doing. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the chairman of the education department at Columbia Bible College, now CIU, had her PhD in education from the University of Tennessee. Well, she came to Columbia Bible College and she heard about me and she contacted me and she said, she had been on the mission field forever. She said, Zan, I just want to take you out for supper. And we're in this little cheap Italian restaurant. And she reaches over and she holds my hand and she said, you know what? You can quit worrying, because God is in this, and He is bigger than all your problems, and He can solve this. This is His mission. You just get on board and walk beside Him. And you know, as silly as that sounds, I mean, I just, sometimes I would say to myself, I mean, I felt like Gideon every day, all, Groundhog Day all over again. Lord, I don't mind doing this if I'm sure this is from You, but how do I know that this isn't my crazy overactive imagination? And when Laureen took me out and she said, God is in this and this is bigger than you, somehow that one statement changed my life and began to grow my vision.
Wow.
So it's not that we need to spend hours and hours with people. I just think we just need to speak, you know, the nature of God and the hope of the gospel, and give people a bigger vision of God.
Yeah.
And then He begins to work the other visions into our life that He wants us to walk through and live out.
I think that is, I mean, that is so encouraging, because I think sometimes as homeschool moms, we feel like we need to have the 10-year plan, right? And we need to have like, if we don't have the 10-year plan, we're going to fall apart. And it just, it reminds me of when we pray, we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And when you sat there and you, all you were thinking is, I want to do what's best for my child today, this year, you know? And God saw the next 30 years and He saw the whole story. And He even saw that now we're living in a time where we're going through some similar things, where many of us feel alone and there's homeschool freedoms being threatened. And I'm hearing from moms that are very fearful of that. And and yet all you did is sit in that chair thinking, today, this is my plan. And God knew, and watch, Zan, in 30 years, I'm going to use this, you know. But it's such an encouragement to those of us that are still in it, saying, I don't need the 10-year, I don't need the 5-year plan. I need to know that today I need to do what's best for my child, no matter what the cost, you know, and God is going to give me today the daily bread to do it. So that's so powerful and encouraging. Yeah. Thank you for sharing
that. He is a faithful, faithful God. We are out of time for this episode. We will be back on Wednesday and we are going to continue with this conversation. Zan, where can people find out more about you and your ministry and all the things that you have going on?
Well, they can find me on my website at zantyler.com, and I occasionally visit Facebook. True confessions, I need to get better.
And probably not, actually.
Yeah, maybe not. That's right. I need to see where we're all going next.
Yeah, probably not. Oh, my goodness. Well, Zan, thank you for your time today. We'll be back on Wednesday, you guys, to talk more with Zan about her story and her journey, what God has done through her, and whether you know it or not, God has impacted your life, the listener, through Zan, because she has done a whole lot to bring the freedoms that we have, that we enjoy today for homeschooling. So Zan, thank you. I'm anxious to hear more about your story, and we will be back in a couple of days to talk more about it. See you guys then.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive, Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.